As we begin a new year at CWH, we want to express our gratitude for the ability to be in your homes each week, proclaiming the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts. In Dad's message today, God's advice for the new year, he reminds us to seek God for guidance in our lives.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And the very first thing I want to do is to wish you a happy new year. And here we are starting a new year with the Lord Jesus. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's all we need. Just lean on Jesus. Before I bring the message, I'm going to talk about how God gives us some advice for the new year. I want to read some of the letters, just a few of them. Some of them are so good. And here's one from Somerset, Massachusetts. And it says, and this lady writes and says, "My mother prayed for our family to be saved and accept Jesus. She witnessed to them often, but she recently went home to be with the Lord at age 89 and didn't see her prayers answered. I believe God will answer her prayers and soften hearts, and they will accept Jesus." And so she said, "Please pray for our family." Now, I tell you, friends, I've been in the ministry now all these years, and I've seen this so often. Mothers praying for her family, those children. She brought them into this world, and she's praying for them, and she dies, and they've never turned to the Lord. But after mother's gone, says, come to Jesus. And maybe there's some of you right today. I just would bet anything there is. And your mother prayed for you, and you know it, and you lived like the wild man. But now you can come to Jesus. I'm going to meet you in heaven. And I'm not going to disappoint you nor Jesus. And I will accept you. But I don't know how to accept Jesus. And I'll tell you what you do. You just pray, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins, and I'll turn from them the best I can, and I'll follow you, and thank you, Jesus, and you'll be in heaven." Now, look at that. Had our first letter, we already gave the invitation. They said, "Well, I thought you should give the invitation at the end of the service." We give the invitation all through the sermon, the whole thing. "Well, why do you give so many invitations?" I'll tell you next week. I'll tell you what the secret is, so be sure to tune in. And why I always give that invitation, just giving it every other word. And then here we've got a nice letter from Custer, South Dakota. And this person writes, "Thank you so much for the pamphlet, Watch Me Grow. I'm so impressed with it that I am asking for more of them to hand out. I pray that in doing so, more people will realize the gift of God, life is so precious and a true miracle from God. Please send 25 if you can. Now, she's talking about a little pamphlet, Watch Me Grow, and it's an illustrated brochure and of the baby's first 9 months. And it's all colored and it's illustrated and it's very attractive and it's very accurate. And it teaches and it shows scientifically that that child is at conception. That baby has a life at conception. And at conception, you know what that baby does, what that little fetus has and what the little child has? At conception, he has DNA and has his sex is determined. And then as he grows, he can find his little heart will start beating at about in the third week, his heart beats. Now, we have a limited number of these pamphlets. And we're going to send them out because we use them for a mailing. We have some extra. And so if you want some, you write to us. We'll send them free, and you get your pencil and paper. I'll give it to you later at the end of the service. But we'd like you to get this out because maybe it'll turn somebody away from having an abortion. And at least it'll show them how important life is. And then one more letter that I want to share is from Leonard, North Dakota. And this lady writes and says, "I have no relatives, only in Norway. They are high in the mountains and they can't get shortwave radio. I told them about the new song and the heart of a shepherd. He is willing," and then this friend of his is willing, "to buy a DVD player and have it in his mother's room as many of her friends speak English and wish for it and want to see it. And so we sent a copy of the little as an hour-long film, The Heart of a Shepherd. And it's made entirely to help people come to Jesus and make that prayer to receive Jesus. And so we're going to send that all the way to Norway. And I'm going to tell you that it's expensive to send it. But while I was thinking about the expenses, I remembered the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 26, where Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And so when we figure out the value of the soul, then I guess that postage isn't so bad after all. And so we've already sent it, and we've done it gladly. But Jesus is saying, and then here he's saying, if you've lost your soul, what will you give to get it back? And we can't get it back because we are sinners. So Jesus comes, and he becomes one of us without sin. And because he had no sin, he could go to the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sin and my sin. The Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he gave himself on the cross and died, was raised the third day. And so that's the glorious gospel message, that God will save you if you just come to him, open your heart to him. And that's what we're praying, that they'll go to Norway and these people will get this message and come to the Savior. So get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give it to you in just a little minute. I don't preach a long time. I never preach a long time. Just seems like a long time. So just stay with us. So we're going to look at God's advice for the new year. Here we are, 2019. And so what's going to happen in the new year and how are we going to get through it? Well, we don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you something. God knows. He knows every step of the way. And so just give yourself to him. Trust in him. As a matter of fact, God suggests that we do that. He says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't you get your ideas on how you're going to get to heaven. And because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death," is what we're told in Proverbs. And you better go God's way, because that's the only way. And that way is through Jesus. And he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So be open, read your Bible, and pray, and go to a church where they're preaching the word. And if you can't get out to go to church, just read the word of God and spend time. God will show you. And so God gives us some advice, and he says, gives us some things. And the first thing I put down is that God wants us to have a vision, a lofty vision. Solomon said it a long time ago. He said, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." Proverbs 29, verse 18. Now, what this verse is really saying, basically is saying, it says a lot of things, but basically it's saying, where there is no vision of God, the people fall apart, the nation. When you have a nation like America, and God isn't welcome in the church, in the schools, and not in some of the churches, and you can't take the Bible, you can't read the Bible and take your Bible to the school. You can take it to the prison, but you can't take it to the school. And so when you get a God and you don't fear God, you don't have a vision of this great and mighty God, the people fall apart, the nation falls apart and perishes. That's what God is saying. But this verse is also telling us that if you have wanted to get anything accomplished, it never has been accomplished, but somebody had a vision. Somebody had a dream. So we want to look at having a vision, a dream that makes life worth living, a dream of accomplishing something for Christ and helping our fellow men. We can dream and have visions as long as we live. God has a purpose for our existence, and so we must dream our plan for God and to help other people. There's work for us to do. So you have to dream, you have to imagine, you have to have a vision, you have to set a high and lofty goal and work toward that by the God's help and God's grace. Every person ought to be one of two people. They ought to be, first of all, the person he is, and then they ought to be the person that he should be or all wants to be or aims to be. Have that vision, and have that vision, and God will help you in it. It's because without that vision among us, we're not going to get accomplish a thing. For instance, every invention in the world, from the horse-drawn wagon to the jet-propelled planes, there had to be a vision first of all. No painting was ever painted. No book was ever written. No house was ever built. No engine was ever invented. But first of all, there's somebody who imagined something. Somebody dreamed this. Somebody had a vision. Sometime, somewhere, someplace, they had that, and they moved out on it, and it came to pass. So have a lofty vision. Imagination furnishes the local, the ideal toward that we must strive. We must put everything we have in it and take and just imagine and then work at it. Take a cue from the children. Those little children, you can give them with some little thing and they'll just, you put them in a little sandbox and with a little car or a little something to play with and they'll have more fun. They'll have a better time than you could ever imagine. They have an imagination. They have a dream. They can see beyond this what this particular thing is. There was a little boy, he was playing with a mangy old dog on a street corner, and a man watching him, and he came over and he asked the boy, what kind of a dog is he anyway? And the boy says, he's a police dog. And the police dog, the man said, he just sure doesn't look like one to me. And the little boy says, well, he's in the Secret Service. So see, that little guy, he had an old mangy dog, and with his imagination, with his dreams, with his visions, he can see and he can make that old mangy thing into a police dog. And then the second thing we have to do it with integrity and independence. Be able to stand up for the right and stand up. Sometimes you have to stand for yourself. And you young people, I'm thinking of you today. See, you're going to be, they want you to go with the crowd. They always want you to do what everybody's doing. But you instead take your cue from God. Study that wonderful Bible and see what you can do for God and see what you can do for other people and just put a whole soul into it and work as hard as you can. I remember in 1961, I remember the inauguration of President John F. Kennedy. I heard him say, and I've heard it a thousand times since, and he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And so we would say, ask not what God can do for you and help you all the time, but see what you can do for God. Give yourself to God. And as steer clear of this mentality of being caught up in the crowd, and the crowd is going in the wrong direction, you know they're in the wrong direction. Don't let them sweep you along and take you along with them. And don't be afraid to stand up for what is right in God's sight, because God will help you and he'll honor you for it, you see? We have this what we call, it's a curse of the day, it's conformity. And so with so many young people especially, their greatest fear is being different. They don't want to be different. They want to be like the crowd. And if the crowd is going in the wrong direction, they're swept along with it. Stand out from the crowd. Stand up for what you know is to be God. They wear the same kind of clothes and the same kind of shoes. They have the same kind of talk. Do you ever hear him say something is cool? Cool? I hear that thing all over the place. Cool. And I come in from outside and I says, wow, it's 110 degrees in the shade out there. And they'll say, it's cool. I don't know what they mean by that. They're all confused, see? The herd instinct is compulsive with every one of us, and we have to fight it. We have to be careful of it. One beautiful college girl put it this way. What one does, they all do. They all like to copy, to imitate, to follow. They're carbon copies of each other, living in mortal fear of being distinctive or different, like the ugly duckling. A man of genuine courtesy and integrity, a man of young people have integrity, and that is just to be honest and true and stand up for what you know is right. Stand for the Lord and don't be afraid and don't fear for it. Give the time to God. And then we need to face tomorrow with Jesus Christ, because he's the real success of all, the secret of all success. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Everything I've mentioned, it can be made possible, and you can do so many things, but you have to have Christ in your life. You have to put, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first in your life, young people, and all of us, but especially young people. Put Christ in your life. Without him, you can really succeed in this life. But you must have that vital relationship with Jesus Christ, where you read the Bible and where you talk with him and where you stay and associate with Christian young people. And you can do that. You can be, and you can find joy and peace in this world. I don't say you're all going to be rich and famous, because not all of us were. Jesus wasn't. Jesus was homeless. Jesus says he didn't have a place to lay his head. He said, the fox have holes, the bird have nest. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. He was homeless, and he was in the perfect will of God. And so I'm not going to say this health and wealth thing, because that isn't in the Bible. You may hear some of these people preaching it, but it isn't in the Bible. Because when you follow Jesus, look at the persecuted church. They're following Jesus, and they're dying for it. And they're in the center of God's will. But you'll have joy, and you'll have peace, and you'll have contentment. And you'll know you're doing right. And so but without Jesus, you can never be the person you ought to be. Unless God has a real part in your heart, in your life, your vision and your goals will be faulty. You won't work out. You'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You have to have this wonderful Jesus Christ. And it will never reach those full potential until you give your whole self to the Lord. You have to give him your will. You have to give him your mind. You have to give him your soul. You have to give Jesus all of your dreams. You have to give all of your ambitions and all your attitudes and all your gold and all you do. You have to have that. And then you find the meaning of life and the fullness of life, and you'll really find life worth living. And without Jesus, it isn't worth living. There was a man named Blaise Pascal, and he's a perfect example of this very thing. Blaise Pascal was without equal. He was a brilliant French thinker. He was a scientist. He was a mathematician. He was an inventor. When only a boy in Paris, Blaise Pascal had such a remarkable grasp of mathematics that it led him to involvement with the Academy of Science, where these men and women in academy shook their heads when they saw the brilliancy and the understanding of this boy. When he was 15 years old, he was writing books and developing theorems and left the professors shaking their heads. And as a teenager, he invented the world's first digital calculating machine, the first one. Other discoveries that he had led him to the invention of the barometer, the vacuum pump, the air compressor, the syringe, the hydraulic press. But for all of that, Pascal was unhappy and unfulfilled. Something is gone. Something is empty. I can't fill it with all of these things. And so he tried gambling and womanizing and free thinking and you name it. And Blaise Pascal did it, and he did every bit of it over and over, and he couldn't find peace. He was going through what Solomon went through almost 3,000 years earlier when he says, everything is vanity, everything is meaningless, meaningless. And that's exactly Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 and 2. So he lived a life of dissipation and sin, a life that was empty, a life that was hollow, a life that was meaningless, until one night, November 23rd, 1654, Pascal picked up a Bible, and he turned in that Bible to chapter 17 and verse 3. That third verse of John chapter 17 blazed like a mighty light into the heart and soul of Pascal. The entire room shone with the presence of Jesus Christ. And this is the verse that he read. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, Jesus, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17, 3. Pascal put his entire faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it seemed like there was just a little spark, And it just came to a mimicking explosion and a great fire and a great strength. This wonderful verse, in this is eternal life, that they may know Christ and them only true and good God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. His soul instantly took wing, and he was a great permanent sacrifice, and he embraced Jesus Christ. And he immediately took a pen, a parchment, and he took a pen, and he wrote this on this parchment. He wrote, in the year of grace 1654, on Monday, 23rd of November, fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and scholars, certitude, certitude, feeling, joy, peace, joy, 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 tears of joy. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's exactly what he wrote, and he never separated from it. And finally, one day he died, and when they took him, and they found his jacket, and in his jacket, and he had it sewed in the lining of his coat, that very statement, the closest he could, what would be near his heart. And he lived all of his life, the remaining life, as a great servant of the Lord. There was a vacuum in Pascal's heart, and all the brilliant intellect of the human mind, and all the pleasures you can reap upon through the flesh, and all the accolades the world could give. Nothing fills that vacuum. Jesus Christ, there's an emptiness, and you have to have him. You'll never succeed in life unless you have Jesus Christ, the wonderful, wonderful Savior. I'm going to tell you something, friends. You're made so that when God made you, he made you so that you'd be a human being, and he made you in the flesh, and then he put a place in your soul for God, for God. And so that's why you're searching. And some people fill that with wealth, and some with fame, and some have graven little images that they pray to, and some pray to the moon, some to the sun, and even to crawling animals and crawling things, as we're told in the book of Romans. They have to fill that void. That's got to be filled. But it'll never be filled, and it'll never be satisfied until Jesus Christ is in your heart. And you say, I want him in my heart. And I want to tell you something. He wants to be in your heart. We're told in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's your heart. Jesus is saying, I stand at your heart and door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him and he with me. And so you say, I want Jesus. I know he's at my heart. I can't hear anything. I never heard a word or never saw a light or anything. 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, but I just knew I needed Jesus. And that's where you're feeling. You can't put your finger on it. But yes, you said, this is the answer. Like Blaise Pascal, yes, this is the answer. I want Jesus. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And he knows it. He wants you to confess it. I'm a poor lost sinner. And dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sin. And I'll turn from my sin the best I can. You'll never be perfect, but just strive for perfection. And you asked him to come in. Jesus says, I'll come in. I had a little boy. He's dead and buried. He's dead now and he's in heaven. And I was telling him, his name was Keith. And I told him to ask Jesus in his heart. And he says, what if I ask him and he won't come in? I was asked that only one time my whole life of 74 years. Oh, I never heard it before. Now he's with the Lord. Jesus says, open the door. I'll come in. So right now, you pray that all over the world, wherever you are, God was with you. He's as close to you as he is to us, maybe closer. And you ask him, then you write to us. And if you can, you just get your Bible, read the Gospel of John. Find a church where they're preaching the gospel. Or get Christian friends wherever you are. I don't know. God will help you. God will be with you. And then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You can also get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com, and you can see our all of the sermons and all of our all about our organization. But you write to us. And if you want to have that film, Heart of a Shepherd, you write for that. If you want to have a little Bible study, we're having a Bible study this month, you write for that. Just say, I want the Bible study. Or we just write to us and we'll send you literature and you can live with the Lord and walk with the Lord. That's our prayer. So let's just pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all these dear, wonderful people all over the world. Oh, may every last one of them, Jesus, may every one ask you into their heart, every one. And Lord, bless them and the shut-ins and those that are sick and those that are afraid, those that are lonely, and the young people, the precious young people, bless them and the little children, and oh God. And then we want to pray, dear Lord, for the persecuted church in Yemen, and oh, they're suffering something terrible there, and turn, help them, just give them strength, I know you will, and help us to pray for them and love them. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So, God bless you this new year. Maybe this is the year Jesus will come. We don't know. It'll just be up to him. But in the meantime, you pray for us. Pray for the Christian Worship Hour. Send us a gift. We have to have your help to carry along. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so everything's on the level. And then just remember this, that God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son. And Jesus died. He loved you so much, he died for you. And on the Christian Worship Hour, we pray all the time, our team and all of our workers, and we have a prayer group of about 50 people praying for you and loving you. And I want to tell you that I love you too, and I just want to see you in heaven so bad. Some of you can see me if you got television. If you're shortwave, you're just out. You don't know what you're missing. But just pray, and I'm going to get to see you. Some of you see me now, I'll see you then. And we'll spend all eternity and we'll be worshiping the Lord together. We won't need shortwave, we won't need TV, nothing of that sort. And we won't have walkers or anything like that. We'll be strong and true and worshiping God. And we're going to do that forever. But you have to have Jesus. Be sure you pray for Jesus to come into your heart. So God bless you, everyone. And I'll look for you next week in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.